Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Dean Judkins of Holy Ghost Fire Church, along with teacher Charlie Sims of Holy Ghost Fire Church. We are back. Charlie is operating at 100% potential power. Dean is operating at about 60%. But we're going to labor through this, and the Lord is going to help get us through. How you doing, Charlie?
I'm doing okay tonight, Dean. And trust in the Lord that you'll get improved day by day and do better.
Yes. So if I cough, I apologize. I'll try to mute when I'm coughing here. I want to thank everybody for their prayers. I got a lot of messages, a lot of people praying for me. I love you all, and I appreciate it very much. So today, we are going to finally get to the consulting a medium in 1 Samuel chapter 28. Charlie, how would you like to open us in prayer?
Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come again and to share with the people that you've given us, Lord. We ask that you open their hearts, that you open their spirits, Lord, that they might receive the truth of your word, that, Lord, you might take it and you might ignite it and make it real and on fire for them, Lord, they can understand and get revelation. And, Lord, we thank you for touching Dean to heal him and to make him well, and we thank you for that, too, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Charlie, what is a medium in your words? What does the word medium mean to you?
In the occult, a medium is one who allows a spirit entity to enter them and to speak through them to someone else. And they might give facts or information about a person's past or something about them individually. But it comes from a demonic spirit that enters into that person, and they allow themselves, the medium allows themselves to open up and allow that spirit to come into them and work through them.
That's right. So I got down someone who speaks in one way or another to the dead.
Yeah.
So, all right. Are there mediums today here on Earth?
Yeah.
Quite a few
of
them.
There's a lot of phonies, but there's some genuine ones out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember in the 80s when I was a kid, the psychic lines and all this other stuff they used to have online, you know, on television all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And, it's amazing some of these people, what they're into. And like you said, there's a lot of fraud out there as well. All right, people. So get your Bibles, get your paper, get your pencil or pen. We are going to be fairly easy today. It's going to be just 1 Samuel chapter 28. We are going to do some reading, and we are going to see what the Word has to say about mediums. Charlie, now, before we get going on this, I had done a little poll on if they thought who was being talked to when we're going to get into this witch and she conjures up a spirit. And I've heard everything from it was Samuel to it was a demonic spirit to that it was the whole thing was a hoax. And before we get into it, what did you always think that it more than likely was?
Well, when I was first introduced to this, having come out of some occult involvement myself, I first thought it might have been a spirit that came. But as I read the scriptures and studied them through and looked at the references tied to this, this is the first and only time that we have a record of the Lord allowing somebody that had died to come back. And this is the only record we have of it. This is it. This is the only one we have. None others have appeared like that. Even when it came down to where people say, well, you know, when Peter was with Jesus up there and Moses and Elijah appeared to him, it says in there, it says, and the vision, they saw a vision. They didn't actually see Elijah and Moses. They saw a vision. But in this case right here, that was Samuel.
Amen. That's what I've always agreed to. The denomination that we came out of, and for those of you who don't know, I was brought up in the Pentecostal denomination. We were always taught that it was a familiar spirit. It wasn't Samuel. It was a demonic spirit. And amongst further study, I come to the conclusion that it indeed was Samuel, and we're going to show a couple of different facts to show you that it was indeed Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, my friend, how would you like to read verses 1 through 3?
Okay. I tell you what I'll do, just for clarification's sake, I'm going to use the Amplified Bible when I read. I've got some references in the King James as well, but I'm going to use the Amplified, okay?
Okay.
In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces for war to fight against Israel. Achish said to David, understand for certain that you and your men will go out with me to battle. David said to Achish, all right, you shall know what your servant can do. So Achish said to David, therefore I will make you my bodyguard for life. Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had removed the mediums and the spiritists, soothsayers, from the land.
All right, let's stop right there for a second. So in verse 1 through 3, they're talking about the Philistines gathering their armies for war to come against Israel. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, somehow, I'm sure it's through old age or whatever, Samuel has since passed away. Who did King Saul always go to for advice?
Samuel.
Why would he always go to Samuel? I'm just trying to paint a picture for the people listening here.
Samuel was the prophet in Israel whom God had set up to be the prophet in Israel, to speak to the people of Israel and to the leadership of Israel.
Okay, so Samuel was a prophet. He was a godly man. Saul would go to him for advice. What did Saul do at this present time, now that Samuel's gone, where the Holy Spirit kind of left him? Do you recollect him all?
Well, I know that when he wanted information, he went to the Witch of Endor.
Right. And, which we're going to get into in a minute.
Yeah. Because Saul did not know what to do in this situation. And so he wanted to find out something of what he needed to do. So rather than because the Lord had departed from him and rent the kingdom from him and giving it to David, Saul was in a tizzy. He had no idea what to do.
Right. Right now, and Saul also knew that David was the next appointed king,
mm-hmm.
and he had tried to take David out a couple of times because he wanted his son Jonathan to be the next king.
Yes, he did.
So a lot of this rift started when basically he was going against the next appointed king whom God had chosen mm-hmm. to lead Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice in verse 3 here, it says that Samuel takes and he puts all the spiritual mediums and the spiritualists, all the people of the occult, he basically got them out of Israel.
Yeah.
He didn't want them there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, let's go to 2 Kings real quick, chapter 2, verse 8.
Okay.
I just want to, 2 Kings 2, 8. Let's see here. Can you read verse 8 for me?
Yeah. And Elijah took his mantle, and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground.
All right. What did Elijah take? He took his mantle, right?
Yeah, he took his mantle. The prophets in the Old Testament had a mantle about them. It was a symbol of their authority that God had given them.
All right, now let's turn over to 1 Kings 19:13.
Mm-hmm. And it says, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there.
Was that 19:13, 1 Kings?
Oh, 19:13. I'm sorry, 19:3. I had the wrong one. 19:13. Yeah, well, I must have typed it down wrong when I did that. Occasionally I will do that. I'll get it right here right quick. Like, give me a second. First Kings 19:13, and it says... And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the center of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah?
All right. And the last one is 1 Samuel 15:27.
1 Samuel 15:27 says, and as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it.
All right, so now we can see that a mantle is it's a cloak covering or another article of clothing. Would you agree with that, Charlie?
Yeah.
And so typically it's a large, loosely fitting garment made of animal skin, probably something like sheepskin. So, but this cloak covering or something like that, it signified a man of God, a man with an anointing, usually a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So... this was a man of God when we talk about that. And for those people who are keeping track of everything, here are some people that were mentioned with mantles. Job in Job 1:20, Ezra in Ezra 9:5, Hezekiah in 1 Kings 19:13, Samuel in 1 Samuel 15:27, Elijah and Elisha in 2 Kings 2:8. Now, a mantle represents or is a symbol of the Holy Ghost. Do we have mantles today, Charlie?
Some claim to have a mantle. I ran into some people that said they had the mantle of Ezekiel, or some said they had the mantle of Elijah. But when you roam around with them a little bit, you find they're a little bit strange.
They need to be put up on the mantle.
Yes, they do. They need to be set up on the mantle. The Lord has a prophetic voice in the land today, and the Holy Spirit works in and through people now, and the Lord can and will give a word to his people through that prophetic voice. We have to be careful. We have to be discerning. This morning before I went to work, I was reading some quote words from the Lord, and I would instantly throw them in the trash because they were no good.
Now, where did you what? Give an example of what you're talking about.
I'd have to go find the article, but
okay. It was an article that you were reading, basically.
Yeah, it was an article I was reading, and it was supposed to be a prophetic word for the United States, and it was the same old stuff that we've heard over and over and over again. The Lord could come back at any minute. We need to be prepared because the church is about ready to depart. And I said, no. This guy called himself, these people call themselves a prophet.
Well, they are. They're false prophets, but they just forget to put the faults in front of them. That's all. All right. So the Holy Ghost is the person who empowers God's people to do God's work. Let's go over to Micah 3:8.
Micah 3:8, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sin.
All right. So, but truly I am full of the power by the Spirit of God. Now let's go over to Matthew 12:28.
But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you.
And then let's finish it up with Ephesians 3:16.
And it says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man.
Amen. So the Holy Ghost is the person who empowers God's people to do God's work. Now, I know this is getting off key a little bit and stuff there, but how can a preacher, a teacher, a pastor, an evangelist, an apostle, or a prophet not be Spirit-filled, and that which is the Holy Ghost, who is the person who empowers God's people to do God's work? I know we're getting off subject a little bit here. I talk about this all the time. But if people are not filled with the power of God, how can they go out and do God's work? Answer, it can't be done. It can't be done.
Well, all they can do it. They can do it to a measure, because there's been a lot of big ministries built off of that, and they didn't speak in tongues. They spoke against the Holy Ghost. I don't know how that'll play out in eternity, but I've known some who've done it.
Right, right. But we know that sin has a power, and the only thing that can overcome sin's power is Holy Ghost power. All right, now, so with that, let's read verses 4-6.
4-6. The Philistines assembled and came and camped at Shunem, and Saul gathered all the Israelites, and they camped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid and badly shaken. So Saul inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, "Find me a woman who is a medium between the living and the dead, so that I may go to her and ask her advice." His servant said to him, "There's a woman who is a medium at Endor."
All right.
So Saul. Okay.
No, let's stop right there for a second.
That's
so here we okay. go. Let's paint a picture from the Philistines are gathering together. They're encamped at Shunem. Saul is, he's afraid. He's got some serious fear going on. He's so afraid that his heart is trembling greatly. Now, let's stop right there. Here's a man who was appointed by God, 30, 40 years earlier to be the king. He's a mighty man. According to reports of the Bible, he was head and shoulders above every other man. So he was a rather tall man, probably over 7 feet tall. He was pretty powerful. Remember when David was trying to use his armor and couldn't even pick it up. But for whatever reason, he's fearful now. He is so fearful that he's trembling. His heart, he's basically has super anxiety. And here's a guy, again, who was brought in to be king, by God himself. And he's fearful. Does fear move the hand of God? No, fear does not move God's hand. What moves God? Faith. This man is in total opposite of what he's supposed to be. So now he inquires of the Lord, and the Lord doesn't answer him by dreams or by the prophets. Charlie, quickly explain what a Urim is.
The Urim and Thummim means, traditionally it means lights and perfection. The Urim and Thummim were a means of revelation entrusted to the high priest. They were physically stored in the breastplate of the high priest. And we don't know particularly what they were. Some scholars believe that they were on the shoulders of the high priest. Some think it was in a little pouch on the breastplate of the high priest. We don't know for sure, but it was a way by which the Lord would answer yes or no. And and the Lord answered many times through Urim and Thummim. You can read it throughout the scriptures where he answered by Urim and Thummim. And so they would understand what the Lord wanted them to do.
Amen. Amen. All right. I didn't know that until I looked that up, just doing this thing here. So verse 6, Saul can't hear from the Holy Ghost. Verse 7, Saul's servant finds him a medium. How many times do we see this today where people get off track and then they'll go into a familiar spirit? Or, you know, they'll be filled with the Holy Ghost, but then they'll go off and they'll go and they'll follow things that don't line up with the Word of God. That's a common practice today, isn't it, Charlie?
It's too much of a common practice. I once knew a whole family. They were believers. They spoke in tongues. They worshiped the Lord. They actually did music as a family. But they would always go and they would check their horoscopes, and they would do other things. And of course, they'd have to come back periodically for deliverance. And we tried to tell them, you've got to leave that stuff alone. But their answer was, even then, they said, there's so much good in it. Let's get the good out of it and leave the bad alone. It's like something within them could not understand that the whole thing was bad. I don't know what finally happened to those people. They moved away, so I don't know what happened to them. But this is I'm talking back years ago now. But I have no idea what happened to them after that.
All right, I'm going to try reading verse 8 here. Let's see. And it says, so Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, please conduct a seance for me and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. So he's deceiving this woman whom he's cast out of Israel, and he disguises himself so that this woman can call somebody up. Now, this mm-hmm. medium, or this witch, or whatever you want to call her, she's trying to conjure up demonic spirits. Would you say that she's done this in the past?
Oh, sure.
I mean, this is a woman probably notorious for doing things like this, correct?
Mm-hmm. Probably well known.
Yeah, so at the least, probably hundreds, if not thousands of times she had done this. So she was pretty familiar with demonic spirits and familiar spirits. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming here. Then verse 9 says, then the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and the spiritualists from the lands. Why do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? So she knows if she does this and Saul catches wind of it, what's going to happen to her?
Yeah, she's going to be killed.
She'll be killed.
Yeah.
So Saul disguises himself, has a witch conduct a seance to bring up a dead person. That word seance is a meeting at which people attempt to make contact with the dead, especially through the agency of a medium.
Mm-hmm.
That medium is that, like you said earlier, where the demonic spirit comes and enters in the medium.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now with that. Oh, okay, now let's go over to Hebrews, have you read Hebrews 9:27, Charlie.
And as it appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment.
All right, and then how about Revelation 20:13-15?
Revelation 20:13-15, it says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works.
And then Isaiah. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
And then Isaiah 18:19-20.
Isaiah. I don't think it's Isaiah 18. I think it's Isaiah 8.
Oh, is it? Yeah, it's probably me with a typo then.
Yeah, yeah. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
All right, so what am I trying to say here? This, like you said earlier, Charlie, is the one instance where we're going to see that Samuel actually came up. According to Scripture, everywhere else, once you're dead, you're dead. You don't come back. According to Scripture. All right, now, Well, let's have you read 11 through 14.
So the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" And he said, "Bring up Samuel for me." When the woman saw Samuel, she screamed with a loud voice. And she said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." Then the king said to her, "Do not be afraid, but tell me what you do see." The woman said to Saul, "I see a divine human being coming up from the earth."
It's funny here because right here it says, "And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth." And that word for spirit is Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a name for God used frequently in the Hebrew Bible. So mm-hmm. if she saw a spirit or Elohim, how in the world could a demonic spirit be an Elohim?
No, it can't.
It can't, can it? And then I have another question here. When she saw Samuel, when he asked for Samuel, why did she scream when she saw Samuel coming up? She's done this 1,000 times.
She knew who Samuel was, and she knew that was Samuel. It was not a spirit, because spirits appeared differently than the actual person. And this was the person that came up.
That's right. And she instantly knew that was Saul.
Yeah. Yeah,
when she saw Samuel.
Yeah. Because she knew from past experience that when Saul had an issue, he went to Samuel.
That's right. So basically, the two of them were always paired together. So she knew that this was it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now, here's where it's going to start getting interesting now. Why would a demonic spirit or a familiar spirit be called a godly spirit? That's Elohim. So a lot of times, Charlie, nobody studies it, you know, well, not many study it as much as you do when you go look up that words. But that word Elam, like I said, is a name for God used frequently in the Hebrew Bible. And a demonic spirit, you know, is not going to be called Elohim. Not at all. All right, how about if I have you read 14?
He said to her, that was Saul, "What is his appearance?" And she said, "An old man is coming up wrapped in a robe." Then Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and paid respect to him.
Now, mine says, "So he said to her, 'What is the form?' And she said, 'An old man coming up, and he's covered with a mantle.'"
Yeah, same thing. It's a mantle. Yeah, it should be
right.
A mantle. In the Amplified, they translated it robe, but in the King James, it's mantle.
"And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stopped. He stooped his face to the ground and bowed down." Now, that word perceived means he became aware of or conscious of something, came to realize or understood. And here's an example. His mouth fell open as he perceived the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So that word perceived means that he became aware that that was indeed Samuel.
Yes, it was.
Now, there's something else that I heard when I had put that thing out on my Facebook about a week and a half ago that I didn't realize was that Samuel had made mention, I do believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that on the day of his death, of Saul's death, he would not see him again until the day of his death. Now, was Samuel talking about his death, or was he talking about Saul's?
I'd have to go back and find that, but I do remember the story, and I think Samuel was addressing Saul, if I remember correctly, and says
Saul and his death?
Yeah, and that at Saul's death, he'd see him again.
All right, so we'll look that up and get back to you on Thursday's show, and just to see, because I'm curious whose death he was talking about here.
Yeah.
So Now, what do you think Samuel's, Saul's thinking when he sees Samuel?
I wouldn't have any idea, but he recognized him and he bowed down before him and paid him respect. Mm-hmm.
So, and in 14, I have here, Saul asked her what he saw. She says, an old man, Samuel was old, covered with a mantle or a cloak or a robe. This represents the Holy Ghost or a godly man. And again, I have a question mark. Why would a demon or a familiar spirit have this?
It wouldn't.
I don't think he could imitate the mantle, do you?
No.
So
because this wasn't a spirit. This was a Samuel.
This was actually Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
Now people are going to ask. I know we're going to hear this. People are going to message me and ask me this. Well, he came up from the ground. Isn't that hell?
He came up from Sheol. If you go to Luke chapter 16, you will find out that Sheol had two divisions. One was called Abraham's bosom. One was called Hades. Abraham's bosom was a place where the departed righteous went, waiting for redemption after Christ had been crucified and raised from the dead. The other side was a place of torment. And when Christ released those righteous ones from what we call paradise, Abraham's bosom, then it says Hades enlarged itself. So the whole place became an abode for the wicked.
And so what Charlie is saying here, folks, is that paradise or Sheol, place of the dead, paradise was down in the earth, in the belly of the earth. Hell was down in the belly of the earth. There was a gulf that split the two of them. And when Jesus ascended up to heaven, if you read in Matthew, I believe, in one of the later chapters, when Jesus ascended up to heaven, the saints that were in paradise, many of them were actually seen walking around. That must have been quite a sight, walking by the graveyard and seeing all the saints of God coming up and everything. And paradise went up into heaven, which means paradise is no longer in the belly of the earth. It is in the third heaven. And the Bible does indeed say that hell is ever expanding. So it's getting larger and larger and larger as we speak. All right, now, so that word perceived, again, means to become aware of or conscious of something, come to realize or understand.
Mm-hmm.
So the medium here realizes that this is indeed Samuel and not a familiar spirit. All right, let's read on, Charlie.
Let's see. 15. Then Samuel said to Saul, see Samuel speaking here, why have you disturbed me, bringing me up? Saul answered, I am greatly distressed, for the Philistines are making war against me, and God has left me and no longer answers me, either through prophets or by dreams. Therefore, I have called you to make known to me what I should do. Here we go. Samuel said, why then do you ask me, since the Lord has left you and has become your enemy? The Lord has done to you just as he said through me when I was with you. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, to David. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not execute his fierce wrath on Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day.
So let's stop right there. The whole reason this happens to Saul is because of why? Because he did not obey what the Lord had told him to do. He was in disobedience. Would you say that obedience is obedience an important thing nowadays, Charlie?
Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is the key. When I start the series on the kingdom of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we will see that obedience is the key. That is the thing that will unlock for you a lot of spiritual dimension, but obedience is the key. And because the Lord told Saul to go down and take care of this, and he didn't do it, Samuel told him that day, the kingdom is rent from you. You've lost it. It's gone. And he reminded him here of what he told him when he was on the earth. Because Samuel asked him and said, when I was with you, I told you then. This is what's going to happen to you because of your disobedience.
Wow. Well, let's take a little side. Let's take a little side street here. You know, like for the last 2 weeks, I've been sick. You know, here you go. You got a pastor who sits down and talks about healing and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And you know, we had the honor of seeing many people saved, delivered, and healed. We've talked about how sickness and disease is going to come against everybody. There's no Superman here. Until we get our glorified body, it's coming. But the reason why I believe that I got ill was because I was in disobedience to what God was telling me to do. And because of the disobedience, sickness and disease, basically I opened the door for it to come against me. And people are going to say, well, what do you mean you were disobedient, Dean? Well, when the Lord tells you to do something or to take care of yourself perhaps a certain way or tells you not to do this and not to do that when it comes to physical things, in my case, taking care of myself physically, and me being disobedient, not listening to it and just doing my own thing anyways, that would be disobedience. And when you're disobedient to the Lord, when he specifically tells you to do something, well, sometimes you have to pay the price. Would you agree, Charlie?
Yeah, partially. The Lord told us, it says, in this world, we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have distresses. We're going to have things. But any of us who have any age on us, and I'm no spring chicken, have learned over the years that if I do things to harm myself, I'm going to reap the consequences of what I do to harm myself. And
that's right.
I've talked to drug addicts and alcoholics and people like that. And the biggest, one of the biggest monsters of all that's not really talked about that causes people a lot of physical and emotional issues is they don't understand repentance, they don't understand forgiveness, and they don't understand releasing all that stuff from their past. And it eats them alive. It chews them up and spits them out. It will destroy them. Unforgiveness will kill you.
That's right. That is absolutely right. And obedience, the word said, is better than sacrifice, like you said. Jesus was obedient. We have a lot of great examples in the Old and the New Testament where people who were not obedient didn't fare so well unless they truly repented, like you said. I mean, we go to Jonah. Look at Jonah. He was told to go and tell Nineveh. There you go.
Yeah.
He was told to tell them to go and repent. He didn't want to. He was disobedient and left, and he was tossed overboard and drowned. You know what I mean? So, but came back. So that's another story we'll have to do. We'll have to do it on Jonah and see what people think.
Yeah, people think about Jonah. Yeah.
But disobedience is not a good thing, and that's the reason why he was disobedient. But a lot of times, disobedience is something that happens after it preludes another condition. And in this case, I think that he wanted Jonathan to be the king, and he was kind of jealous of David. And that goes back to Saul. You know, Saul will kill his 1,000s and David his 10,000s, and he just became a jealous man.
Yes, he did.
And to the point where he just was disobedient. And we see where that got him. So
the disobedience that carried through for a long period of time.
That's right. That's right. And what scripture tells us that if the children obey their parents, if they're obedient to their parents, God promises you long life. So he promises you 70 or 80 years.
Yes, so, yes, he did. But my wife and I were talking about this the other day. And as a side note to that, if you read in the Old Testament that if there was a very disobedient child that would not obey mom and dad, they'd stone the child. Their life would be cut short.
Wow. Wow.
So if you obey your mommy and daddy, you'll have a long life. You won't be stoned to death.
Wow. I didn't know that. All right, so
well,
where did we leave off here? Where did we leave off?
We left off here. Now, right? Let's see here. Okay. Because he's not obeyed the voice of the Lord, did not execute it, therefore the Lord has done that. Okay. Verse 19. Moreover, the Lord will also put Israel along with you into the hands of the Philistines. In other words, they're going to get beat, and the Philistines is going to get them. And tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me among the dead. Indeed, the Lord will put the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. That's
wow.
Tough.
Hey, when he says, "And tomorrow you and your sons will be with me," do you think that they went to heaven or down in the paradise?
I don't know, because they went among the dead. I don't know. That's something I cannot answer, and the scriptures do not tell us. But Samuel said, "Tomorrow you and your sons will be with me among the dead." So, you know, the Lord may have had mercy on him in the end. I don't know. But it doesn't tell us specifically, but it says tomorrow you and your sons will be with me.
All right. Verse 20.
Mm-mm.
All right. How about verse 20, Charlie?
And then Saul immediately fell full length on the earth and was very afraid because of Samuel's words. And he was thoroughly exhausted because he had not eaten all day and all night. The woman came to Saul and saw that he was greatly troubled. And she said to him, "Look, your maidservant has obeyed you. And I have taken my life in my hand and have listened to everything you said to me. So now, please listen to the voice of your maidservant, and let me set a piece of bread before you and eat, so that you may have strength when you go on your way." But he refused and said, "I will not eat." But his servants, together with the woman, urged him, and he finally listened to them. So he got up from the ground and sat on the bed. The woman had a fatted calf in the house. She quickly killed it and took flour and eat it and baked unleavened bread. She brought it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they got up and went away that night.
Hmm. Can you imagine how he must have been feeling?
He was devastated because he knew that in probably another day that he and Jonathan both were going to be dead, and that Israel would lose the battle and be captured by the Philistines, and he realized that he was the cause of all of that.
Wow. That is something.
Mm-hmm.
If you go over to 1 Samuel 1:31, it says here, "Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishia, Saul's son. The battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to the arm bearer, 'Draw your sword and thrust at me through it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust through and abuse me.' But the arm bearer could not do it. Therefore, Saul took his sword and fell on it." So he committed suicide.
Yes. Yeah, he did.
Hmm.
And
wow.
And when you realize stories like this, it makes you think and to realize that those that are in authority, if they don't do what's right, it's going to affect everybody around them if they don't do the right thing. I could get started now and I could go on to a whole thing about our own government. But this is true. If we don't obey the Lord, then we're putting ourselves in a precarious situation, because as those that have been given leadership responsibility, if they don't fulfill their leadership responsibility, then it's going to affect all of those underneath them, whether it be national, state, local, whatever. It's going to affect everybody.
And, that's right.
And the disobedience will continue right on down the line. Sometime we'll do a blog talk and we'll get into some of these politics. But we want to pretty much stay with Scripture. But we can get into those things and show how Scriptures relate back to what's going on even today in our country.
That's right.
It's very plain, very evident.
So, if we learned anything today, we've learned that Samuel was indeed called up from, the abodes of, or the belly of the earth. That we talked about what a mantle was in the Old Testament, and she saw that he was wearing a mantle. Saul perceived that it was Samuel, so he knew it was. Samuel had quoted something that he had spoken to him earlier, before his death. Mm-hmm. So, again, that proves that it was Samuel.
Yeah.
Samuel predicted the death of Saul the next day. And if my information is correct, I don't believe that a demonic or familiar spirit can predict a death.
No.
I don't believe, according to Scripture, that they can. I believe only a prophet, and I'm not even 100% sure about something like that. I don't know. But I know that a demonic spirit can't. I know that they can make things look like it can happen, and they can get you to take your own life and make a situation seem like it's something. But I know for a fact that they can't predict death. So, what else do you have, Charlie, from what we just read there? Anything?
Well, the story of Saul from the beginning is interesting. The people of Israel wanted to be like the nations around them. They didn't want to. They did not want a government where God ruled. They wanted to be like all the other nations around them, so they wanted a king. And Saul was the first one. And the people were warned of what was going to happen. When you read in the beginning that God himself chose Saul and said, if you want a king, I'm going to give you the best that men's got to offer. But then he lists a whole bunch of things that he's going to do. He's going to take your sons. He's going to take your daughters. He's going to tax you. He's going to do all kinds of things. And the Lord raised up Saul, and he was really the biggest among the men. And so what the Lord did was he gave him the best that man could offer, the best that man could give him. And he gave him a prophet. Samuel was a prophet, and said, you know, Saul, you need to listen to what this man says, because I'm going to speak through him to you. And Saul didn't listen. Saul had his own ideas about things. He didn't listen to what the Lord said. And as a result, it comes all the way down to where we're at here in this chapter here, where he has to go to a witch to conjure up Samuel. And Samuel comes up, and Samuel seemed somewhat aggravated that he had to come back because of where he was at. And then he declared unto him, says, I told you this before. You didn't pay any attention then. But I'm telling you now, Israel's going to lose the battle. The Philistines are going to get them. and you and Jonathan will be dead tomorrow.
Wow.
And that's where it came down to. He started out good, went bad. We have examples of that throughout Scripture, good ones that went bad.
I guess the thing that I learned was, again, it got back to me that even those who truly heard from God had a mantle.
Yes,
you know what I mean? And so they had the mantle or representation of the Holy Ghost, and it was because of that mantle or the anointing, I guess you could say, they heard from God. And there were many that didn't have the mantle and the anointing, and they didn't hear of God. And we know how, you know, cases like that turned out. It wasn't good. And Scripture says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, with the exception of, as we were promised, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. How can you go and read the Old Testament and the New Testament and just not know how important it is to be filled with the Holy Ghost and be baptized by the Holy Ghost? I don't get it. I don't see how people can talk against that.
Well, there's a lot of commotion out there about this, and it will probably continue for a long time to come, because a lot of people say, you know, when you hear somebody speak in tongues, it's just a bunch of gobbledygook and gibberish, and they're not baptized in the Holy Ghost. One thing that Jesus said that really sticks out to me, he said, "You shall know them by their fruit."
That's right.
Okay. So if someone is baptized in the Holy Ghost, they're going to act godly. They're not going to act ungodly. They're not going to do things deliberately and maliciously to harm themselves or someone else. The fruit of the Spirit will be evident in their life, not the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh will be evident in somebody's life who does not know the Lord and who is not baptized in the Holy Ghost. But it says, I did a study not long ago on the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. When we look at those two and parallel them, and I'll tell you, I've known some Christian people that were as mean as hell itself, and they call themselves Christian. And it's no joke. When I've discussed certain doctrines with some people, I have literally been cussed out in the foyer of a church. And I wondered where that came from.
Wow.
Was that person in that Pentecostal church baptized in the Holy Ghost? They said they were. They testified. They baptized the Holy Ghost. They spoke in tongues. But yet, when it came to a particular doctrine that we were discussing, all this filth came out of their mouth against me because I dared challenge and question.
Hmm. Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing. You know, the Scripture tells us that when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, this is what I studied, and I believe what I was shown by God and, you know, the Word and the Holy Ghost. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and Lord, forgive me if I'm off here. I won't, you know, name names or anything like that. But if you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you go on and you do like Facebook posts, you do all these little posts and you talk about how you saw seven doves walking up in the atmosphere and how God showed you this and how you've seen this and how God has shown you this and how God, and that's all you ever hear is what God is showing you. To me, you're puffing up your own ego. And, you know, and if you're truly filled with the Holy Ghost will always lift up God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost very rarely talks about himself.
Mm-hmm.
He always uplifts the Father and the Son.
Yes, he does.
And when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're out promoting the gospel, the good news of the gospel, and you're getting people saved, delivered, and healed. That's what the Holy Ghost does. And he guides you, he teaches you, he comforts you, and he directs you.
That's right.
In the ways of the Word of God. That's a person who is filled with the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
These other ones, you see these prophets and all these little, and these great intercessors, and they're going to do this, and they're talking about, and all they do is every single day they have 10 or 15 different visions that they've been seeing and stuff. Charlie, I don't know about you, but that puts up a red flag to me.
I don't pay that a whole lot of attention. I really do not.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and I don't think God wants to look cornball-y, you know what I mean? And I know that there's things that we won't understand, but again, it always points away from us and up to God and Jesus. And that's it, point blank. And it always lines up with the Word of God, period.
The Holy Spirit does not speak of himself. He speaks of us. He speaks of Jesus.
That's right.
And so just recently on Facebook, I saw some pictures that people had posted, and those pictures were just filthy with four little words in them and all kinds of stuff. Some of these people had posted before they were Christian believers. I don't see how they can do that.
No.
And it was amazing to me that recently there was a movie out called 50 Shades Darker, a very filthy, vile, nasty movie. And the report was is that as many Christians were going, quote, Christians were going to see it as secular people. I don't see how they could do that.
I don't either. You know, another thing that we see a lot of is you'll see somebody, and I've seen this, Charlie, more than I've ever seen it before in my life. And I'm 50 years old. I'm 39 years old in the Lord. But I'll see somebody quoting scripture, and I'll think, holy smokes, this person has got the word down. Charlie, not even a different day, but like an hour later, they'll be blaspheming and calling Jesus names and doing all this other stuff and swearing and doing all this other stuff. They'll be like schizophrenic or bipolar. And I see that, like, it is unbelievable the amounts of people that I see that with. And these people can quote scripture. And I'm going to be honest with you, man. They're demon-possessed. But I've never seen it this bad in my entire life.
Well, they might have some demonic issues, but Paul called them carnal Christians, carnal, fleshly. In other words, they might have their fire insurance paid up, but that's all they got. If that's all you've got, and your fire insurance is paid up, and that's all you got, then you're not going to live a life that the Lord wants us to live. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, where we might have a fulfilling life, free from a lot of things that could burden us down. We got enough trouble in this world. There's enough tribulation in this world. There's enough aggravation in this world it's hard to walk with Christ. I don't want to walk this world without it. I sure don't.
Amen.
I sure don't want to create more trouble.
No, I mean, not at all. All right, so we're running down. We got about a minute and a half left. So all you people that are listening, all the people that will be listening, you can make up your own judgment or your own call. But we know according to Scripture that was indeed Samuel, according to the Word of God, and that's what we go by. And if you are reading what were you calling it? I don't even do this stuff, so I don't even know what it's called. But your horoscopes, if you're reading all that garbage and stuff there, that is a form of witchcraft. That is not of God. Charlie, would you tell them to stop doing that and repent?
they need to stop and repent because the scripture's full of leaving that stuff alone.
That's right. And so if you're doing that, please ask God to forgive you and stop doing that. If you're going to read anything day to day, make it the Word of God. And, you know, you got a better future with Him anyways. You have anything else you want to add, Charlie, in 15 seconds?
Lord, I just pray for the people that were listening, that you'll bless them and that you'll encourage them and that you'll, Lord, if they're not saved, they'll turn to you with their whole heart and that, Lord, you'll bring them into your kingdom in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, well, we'll see you guys tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Charlie will be doing a study. We love you. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Lord, for getting me through. And remember, Jesus is Lord. God bless.
Amen.